It's Monday, October the 27th, 2014, and I'm Maureen Guest, working with the Whitley's Oral History Project, and today I'm interviewing Judy Goodman at Walsgrove Farm in Great Whitley. Judy, you've been here a long time now. I just wonder if you could just explain to us how you got to come to Worcestershire and where you started your life.
I do have a bit of a history now, because I've actually clocked up 50 years this year, 2014, since I got married. We married in 1964. But how did I meet my husband? Well, I was my parents were farming in Leicestershire at Lutterworth, just outside Lutterworth, and I was lucky enough to go to Northamptonshire Farm Institute in 1958-59, because my mother's family had worked on the staff there, and so she was great friends of the vice principal, Miss Janet Strang, who rang my mother up one day and saying, "When are one of the girls coming to to Moulton?" So my sister didn't want to come; she was 18 months older than I was. So I decided, yes, I want to go to Moulton, because I loved the farm all my life. My father was a dairy farmer, and he did poultry before he started his dairy herd in the late 30s, and then he started a dairy herd of Pedigree Ayrshires. So I'd got farming in my blood, and so I went to Moulton as a student. I was one of the youngest students then. I was only 16 and a half years old. But that didn't matter. I managed to get there. And I'd done my years practical at home. So I did actually leave school at 15 with no O-levels. But anyway, I've managed through life without them. So I did meet Geoffrey on this course in December time of 1958. When we left Moulton, he went to Denmark for 12 months, so I did see a little of him then. And then I was a member of Lutterworth Young Farmers, which was an active young farmers in its heyday, but it's still very good now. And when he came back from Denmark, I did write to him when he was in Denmark. And then gradually, as the years went by, he asked me to marry him. So I was coming up 21. And so in the end, I was married when I was still 21, because I was a March baby. And we got married January the 7th, 1964. And Geoffrey's father had got two cottages on the farm that they built some years before. And we had one of the cottages. So that's how I came. So I was always very proud of the fact that I came as a bride to Great Whitley. Geoffrey's mother was extremely good to me, because she introduced me to a lot of people. And then also, my mother was most insistent at the wedding that David Lockwood, who was the vicar here at the time, should assist the Reverend Jimmy Good, who was rector of Great Lutterworth Church in Leicestershire. So I had two vicars to take part in my service, in our service. So that was lovely. Anyway, and of course I got married at 11:30 in the morning, and so it was a bit of a trek for Worcestershire to come to Lutterworth in those days. But anyway, it all worked out well. Anyway, so over the years I was fortunate enough, I decided, we decided we'd start a family, and Andrew was born in 1965. And Michael in 66, and then I had a bit of a gap, and Lucy arrived in 69. So I had all my three children before I was 30, which I thought was a good idea. So anyway, but I took an interest in the farm then when I first got married. Okay, didn't do a lot, because I got the children on the go. So that's what we did. And then when Michael was on the way, Geoffrey's father decided that he wanted to build a bungalow to make life easier for them. And then he built so we could move up to the farmhouse. So that was, I think, in 1960, 67, 68, when we moved up here to the farmhouse. So that was lovely because I had more room and everything. So I didn't. I had Lucy up here. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. So as years went by, I took an interest in the farm because Geoffrey was dairy farming then, and the children all went to Whitley School for a start, and then went on to various other schools, and. Of course, the biggest asset was, I suppose, I could drive. So any errands Geoffrey wanted to do, I used to do for him. And then as time went on and farming got difficult, Geoffrey was, chairman of the milk committee or something. And I can remember doing a cheese promotion, helping him with a cheese promotion at a Birmingham, what was the Birmingham thing called?
Oh, I can't remember.
It was City of Birmingham show they used to have. At the City of Birmingham show, because the NFU were trying, in those days, this was early 80s, mid 80s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Early 80s it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did this cheese promotion, because being involved in dairying, anything to promote milk and everything else, see? So that's how my promotional work started. But also, I did take a keen interest in Great Whitley Church as well, because in 1985, I decided we'd had a combined parish with Shawley, Little Whitley and Great Whitley, when John Barnish was the vicar, Reverend John Barnish, who lived at Shawley, but he was vicar of Great Whitley. There was the 900th centenary of the Diocese of Worcester. So we had a joint flower festival at Whitley Church for the combined parish, which was lovely. And at the final service on the Sunday evening, the Bishop of Worcester came out to it. So we were all very proud of that fact. And when I was reading in one of the booklets, The History of Great Whitley Church, I found out that the church was consecrated in 1735. So I decided and asked one or two other people at the time, because they were then promoting and wanting to raise money for Whitley Church, to celebrate the 250th anniversary of Great Whitley Church, which was 1985. And so I helped to organise the flower festival.
Mm-hmm.
So, which that was a big event, and we made some money, and it was good publicity for the church as well. And also getting local people involved in it. So, and so John Barnish was vicar at the time, I think. We'll have to check that one out.
So, yeah.
Yes, I'm sure he was, because of the choir and everything else. Because Valerie, his wife, we had this church choir, which was very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And John Jenkins was playing the organ. So then, but how did I manage to start the geese? Well,
before the geese, you had the strawberries.
Yes, yes. Well, that was, Richard used to do, Geoffrey's brother, a lot with the strawberries, but still I used to have to help man the plot at the weekends. Mm. Oh, yes, yes. And I can tell you the year when we actually did start the strawberries, thinking I'd forgotten the strawberries, Michael was a baby in the pram, and we opened the first pick your own, pushing Michael down the field in the pram, and that was 1966.
Oh, right.
So it was either 66 or 67 when we started the pick your own strawberries, because Geoffrey will fill you in on the strawberry growing. Yeah, see?
So they lasted quite a long time.
Oh, yes, because that was a big thing. And, you know, we used to get all these people out. And then, as you know, the years go by, 66, 67. We were doing it till past 2000.
Yeah, and then we
had all the farm open days during strawberry time and everything. When I'll have to look the dates up of those.
And the raspberries
as well, because the land here was suitable for soft fruit growing.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the predecessors who lived here, I can't just remember the name of the person, but another thing I have to check out for you, was they said that you could pick some either fruit or vegetables or produce in this garden or off the farm every month of the year.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Because
yeah.
they had the walnuts and the cobnuts and, and everything. And then the mistletoe at Christmas. Same, well, you don't eat mistletoe, but you've got to...
it's a harvest.
It's a harvest again, you see, and that. So, you know, it is steeped in history, Great Whitley is.
And you have play school coming up in the summer.
Oh, yes, play school coming up in the summer. To the geese and everything. And to the pick your own to see the strawberries and everything. And it's been a minefield. And there were we doing all this in the 80s before... And look at it now when the NFU organised the Open Farm Sunday. Mm. But we were doing that donkey's years ago. It's just how it's all gone round in a circle. But
so the geese started after the soft fruit.
No. We were doing the geese with the soft fruit as well. And to start with, because Bridget was working for us, Bridget Dyke, a lady who used to live down Snuffy Row. She was a great, great worker. Bridget was, and she used to help me tremendously. But how I started the geese was Christmas 1981. Geoffrey's father always used to, because Geoffrey's father had been poultry farming at Bewdley before they moved to Great Whitley. And he always used to go and find some geese because Granny Geoffrey's mother was a Shropshire lass and she always liked goose for her Christmas dinner. I was brought up on bronze turkeys and I can remember plucking these bronze turkeys. We used to buy them from a local farmer, but my mother had to get them live. And then my sister and I used to help her pluck these turkeys, bronze turkeys, in the 50s. Always, always, I shall never, ever forget doing that. And then, so anyway, so Christmas 1981, Geoffrey's parents couldn't find any goose for Christmas. So I decided for 1982, I would have some geese on the lawn as a hobby. Mm-hmm. And my brother-in-law, who was a great shooting man up in Leicestershire, he had the shooting times, and he told me about High Fly Game Hatchery, and they advertised in that in the spring. So in the spring of 1982, I ordered 16 or 20 odd geese, goslings, and I had two hay boxes out on the lawn, because they came in at 10 days old. Mm-hmm. And they came down by on the train, overnight delivery on the train.
Yeah.
And I went up to Worcester Station to pick them up. So I reared these geese in 1982, and I always remember Mr. Clark from Abberley, who used to deliver the papers. I told him about my goose venture, and he says, "Oh, make sure they have a bucket of water to dip their heads in. They must dip their heads in water." So I took Mr. Clark's advice and had my bucket of water with it so they could dip their heads in, which is one of the key things with the goose. Because of pruning their feathers, see, and everything.
They need it.
So there we are. So that's how, so 81 and 82 and 83, I had geese, reared them on the lawn, and I had, Geoffrey's father's had still got his free-range hen pens, from when he was from Bewdley, which he brought with him from Bewdley, and they were housed in that in a paddock in the garden in the orchard. So, you know, how did I market them? Well, the first years as a hobby, I just did family and friends, and then in 1984 we had 100 geese, so we hand plucked them, and with using an iron. And Bridget Dyke helped us to do them. And as the years went by...
What did the iron do?
The iron was you laid them on the table, you dislocated the neck, because I knew how to... My mother had taught me how to kill poultry. Dislocation of the neck. Under the broomstick handle, that's right, and then pulled them up. That's how I did that. Because an ordinary chicken, you can just go two fingers and dislocate them. But the, so what was the question?
What was the iron for?
Oh, the iron, yes. So after we'd slaughtered the bird and stuck it, so you bled it as well, because you don't want a lot of blood in the thing, in the neck, so you drain the blood out into a bucket of water. And then you get a hot cloth, bowl of hot water and a hot iron, lay the bird breast side down and hot cloth over the bird, iron a bit, and that would moisten it, and then you'd
pluck it.
And that's how you did it. You should always pull the wing feathers out. You couldn't get the end ones out, but the earlier wing, the shorter wing feathers, you could pull, well, as soon as the bird was slaughtered, pull those out quickly, otherwise it gets a bit hard. And so that is how we ironed these geese. So we did 100 geese. I killed a few at Michaelmas. Every year time, I've always had my Michaelmas goose, because my mother had this cookery book, which was the old mark book in the war years, before the war it was done, of seasonal produce each month of the year. Mm-hmm. And the goose comes into its prime at Michaelmas. So that's how I cottoned on with the Michaelmas thing. So then after that, we did 100 geese in 84, 85, we did 300 geese. And I was lucky enough, daughter was in the Young Farmers, and I had my first media coverage of 300 geese, which was
back
quite
in 1985.
And then in 1986 we did a NFU Mutual had got a marketing award, and because we'd been in the media in 85, and I had a newspaper article in 85 as well, and we joined the goose producers as well. When we got up to 300 geese, well, I think, yes, 84, 85, we joined the goose producers, which did do a bit of publicity, and they gave us tips, and you had farm walks, a farm walk each year to go to. And so this NFU Mutual Marketing Award thing in 1986, we became a regional finalist, which was a good thing. Mm. Again, that gave us publicity, which all good. 87... we went up to 1,000 geese on the strength of this, and did that. And I was runner-up in the Woman of Worcestershire. That was St Richard's Hospice, when they were doing their luncheon, and they did their luncheon, and that also gave publicity. And then, as also at this time, I was an active member of the Women's Farming Union, because that had been formed in early mid-80s because of the apple crisis in the apple industry. And so I was recommended by them to Country Living magazine, and I had an article in 1988 in Country Living magazine, which also gave us where we started overnight delivery. And things were mounting up. So each year we had that big target to increase the geese.
And how many people did you have to employ seasonally?
Well, in those days.
What's that?
Seasonally in 1988.
What?
Well, we had all local people, didn't we? Mm-hmm. In 88.
To deal with the geese. So many then.
Yes, because Andrew was at Harper Adams then, see?
We had some of his mates.
And so we had some of his mates. Mm-hmm. And Bridget Dyke came, and I can't remember who else came. We employed one or two local people who were glad of the work. Oh, we had the people from Starport, the ladies in Starport. There was Gwen, and now her grandson comes and helps us now. There was Gwen and Jess. Yes, we got to... Oh, because we were doing the strawberries, we had some of the staff. So they were keen to come. Right. And then there was some... what was her name? From Stamford Bridge, and she died of some years.
Barbara, from
Stamford Bridge, and she had another mate as well. So in those days, it was all local people. When we first started, we didn't have any foreigners. It was all local. And so by 1989, I decided, because it was food and farming year that we do 2,000 geese. See? Yeah. So we jumped from 184 to 2,089. But we have to say that it was just thanks to what I'd achieved in that short time. And of course, Maggie Thatcher was on the motion. Lady Thatcher was on the, well, she wasn't lady then in those days. Mrs. Thatcher was Prime Minister, and it was a woman in the, a woman yeah. leading the country. Mm. So women doing anything were always considered. Thing. Oh, the photograph of it's in the dining room. Yeah. Oh, it's in the hall. I'll get it. Just hang on. Yes, because there's another story.
How are you meant to be doing this thing for? You're not just shut her up. She'll go on forever.
Well, she asked me for the history.
History? Well, you'll have a...
It's, well, this, I think there's 6 hours on there.
Is there 6 hours? Oh, blooming heck, come on. You better hurry up. What time did you start?
So, this was 1989.
Oh, right, Maggie Thatcher. Yeah.
Yes, because in
19... Where was that taken?
At the Royal Showground.
Oh, said, right.
She, there was this competition.
You're towering over her.
Yes.
Now, there's a good story to that. Is that the one when you've got your...
No, that's in the dining room.
No,
prize, when I've got the certificate.
You've got your certificate.
Yes.
Well, they were outside the Royal Pavilion, outside at Stoneleigh.
At the Royal Showground.
At the Royal Showground. And they're all sort of lined up, and Maggie Thatcher was sitting in amongst them, and there was a sort of deathly silence. And as if it was a bit of an awkward moment, nobody said anything. So Judy said in a very loud voice, and everybody watching could hear, "Now, we're not always dressed up like this. We're usually in our muddy wellies." which came over rather well. Yeah. Anyway, so I don't know. Who's lost that one?
It's the same dress, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same picture.
Same picture.
Oh, right. That was getting my certificate. And we won £500 on that.
Oh, good.
But the winner got a car, but I wasn't lucky enough to get the car. So,
yeah.
But that was the this is why 89, in the end of the day, was such an important year for us, because I'd had this bee in my bonnet to do 1,000 geese.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
2,000 geese.
Yeah.
2,000 geese.
The whole thing is, it was a woman doing something like this. In those days, that wasn't really heard of too much.
No.
And that's what tickled the thing of the press and everybody else.
Yeah.
But nowadays, of course, you know.
Oh, well, now the other day I picked up the newspaper. What were they talking about? Women in agriculture. All these farming ladies. It's the in thing for them to be farming now.
Yeah.
All these years going on from there. So anyway, but then there's another link to 1989. We did actually, in the orchard, have about 30 bronze turkeys. Because at the end of the day in 1989, we did have a phone call from Delia Smith's office, mm-hmm. wanting some geese, and they wanted to come and film us because, unknown to us, she was doing a book and a television programme.
Yeah.
So by 1990, there was our geese featured in her book, which came out in October, and someone rang up from Kent.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "What's this about?" "Oh, I've got your name out of the Delia Smith book." And also, we knew Kelly's turkeys were being featured with their bronze turkeys. So that year, we had 300 bronze turkeys in 1990 and cut the geese back to 1,800, just so that we were around this 2,000 mm-hmm. mark. See?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we did. So in the end of the day, we got Delia Smith's fantastic book, which has sold over 1 million copies, plus her Christmas program,
mm-hmm.
which was on the television on and off for 10 years on the trot.
Yeah, yeah, and so were you, though, weren't you?
Yes.
On and off.
Showing people how to prepare.
So it was, you know, when I look back on it, I enjoyed doing all the promotions I did, and I just took it in my stride. And luckily, I must say, Geoffrey, my husband, was very supportive, but I did have help in the house. And the help in the house also helped with the geese as well.
And that
was a big, big asset, because I couldn't have done it on my own. And the boys were all at... And then Andy went to Harper Adams. Oh, goodness me. I've lost now the dates. But Andy went to Harper Adams, and Michael went. Michael was there 4 years. Andy was there 3 years. And then Lucy went as well.
She went to
Sparsholt Agricultural College first to do a farm secretarial course. And then she'd always wanted to do something that her brothers had done. So she went to Harper Adams and did the marketing course.
Right.
See, so they all went to Harper Adams. See. But then, see, if I look back at my early list, I had an article 1992 by Philippa Davenport in the Financial Times, The Weekend, each year there was something going on. I picked up something, and you know, I can't be more grateful in the and then of course the other thing that happened in the 90s was the BBC Good Food Show started, but it wasn't the BBC then, it was just the Cooking and Kitchen Show, and we went to the first one as a member of the Goose Producers with other people.
Was that in London or at the NEC?
At the NEC, yeah. That's why we went, because
it was local.
It was local, and I said to several members, oh, well, if we all do a day each, I think it was a 3 or 4 day show, it will all be helpful to us.
Yeah.
So for 3 years, 2 years, I think we did it as a group, and then I went independent, I think, in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a stand there, and then Henrietta Green was writing this Food Lover's Guide to Britain, and we had a good article in that. Mm-hmm. And we were in the Times newspaper that year, and various other things. And so just life went on, and it gave us the increased thing to do more geese and more turkeys each year.
Yeah, so the geese started in what time? When do you get the poults?
Late April.
And you bring them on from there?
Yes. Yes, and I bring them on from there. Mm-hmm. And we have, well, now we're up to 4,000 geese, just over, well, about 4,300, I think. And we've got at least 4,500 bronze turkeys this year.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. We're really really on the thing and that. But, you know...
So who manages all of that now?
Michael.
Michael and Andrew.
Oh, right.
They share it between the two of them, because... The cows went in after all the TB in
2005.
Yes, that's the other thing. You must interview Andy, because he has seen this huge change of the milk job and the... here he is.
Well, I think Jeff would have seen it all.
Oh, yes, yes, but no, but Andy managed the cows last 10 or 12 years of the cows, Andy was in charge of them, and that, because he worked really hard, and
I don't know how far you're going to go I thought you were talking sort of...
Get a picture, really.
Yeah, but it will be a good thing to interview Andy, because he's 50 next year.
Oh, right, yeah.
See?
Yeah,
yeah. So that's right. Half his life.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So he's lived in Whitley Village for 50 years.
Yeah. But what about the asparagus?
Yeah, we started the asparagus in the 90s as well.
Yeah.
93.
But we planted it in 1990.
Yeah, but we started cutting it in 93.
See?
When milk quotas came.
Yes.
And we were cut back immediately by 19%.
Oh, no. That was 84 when the milk quotas came in. Because that's when we had the 100 geese. That's what I've forgotten.
Yeah, I got that wrong. It was not 80.
84.
We put the first asparagus.
Yes, 84 you put the first asparagus in. Back. So 84, 85, 86, 87, 88.
Yeah.
Yeah, so late 80s,
yeah.
The asparagus was going well,
mm-hmm.
and that. See, and there was...
Did it when the milk quotas came in, because the milk, we had to cut back immediately 19% of our production. We weren't allowed to produce anymore.
Yeah.
Well, if we did, we got a bloody great fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it came out. It was 1983 we started, not 19... with the asparagus, that's right, it was. Yeah.
But I mean, your farm has always been very much part of Great Whitley.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
you've always had things for customers to buy from it.
Well, oh, yes.
Of course, had things yes. for customers to
yeah.
buy.
A lot of farms yes. won't.
Right.
We
yeah.
have tried
yeah.
to, and initially we used to, of course, you know, for casual labour, we used to employ people from Great Whitley, but mm-hmm. they aren't about anymore.
No.
I mean, yes. Mrs. Kip Rawlings was one who used to work for us
oh,
quite a
yes.
lot.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
And I remember when Ray, who was now postman,
yeah.
now postman, Ray, I remember Kip, and he used to come up, and he used to come up to me and say, I've told you, mister, you don't mind, he used to come up and say, hello, my name's Raymond Rawlings, what's yours? But I remember, and then there was Paul, you see, the
other brother.
The other brother, he was younger. I remember Kip picking strawberries out here at the back of Andrew's house once, and she put him down in the road to have a sleep. Couldn't find him again, so I was going to hunt for this baby in the strawberry road. I remember that very well.
Yeah.
So, we've always tried to employ local people, but they aren't about now. And then
we did have a few last Christmas. We had more last Christmas local
people.
We
do have a few local people.
There was half a dozen locals, I think, last year.
Yeah. So really, things have become well established through the 2000s.
Oh yes.
And
I did get an award from the British Poultry Council, which I was very proud of. Well, and two things.
National,
isn't it? The British Poultry Council, they gave me a marketing award in 2010, and I was chairman of the goose producers for 4 to 5 years as well, up to 2010, and I decided I must retire from the being chairman, because you mustn't go on forevermore in that position. Mm-hmm. Give other people, and it's good for other people to get on with it. And I had devoted a lot of time, because the previous chairman had been ill for the last 3 years of his time, so I had to stand in for him on many occasions. So they gave me this poultry marketing award. And then the other thing was, in 2000 and before that, I'll tell you the year if I go and get the piece of paper, I became a fellow of the Royal Agricultural Society. First of all, you become an associate, and then you become a fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very chuffed about that.
That was very prestigious.
Yes. Suppose you can put your little name initials after it. Have you got no?
FRAS.
Yes. Yours is all direct marketing, selling. So there's no middleman.
Trying to. Well, no. Milk wasn't, of course.
No.
But no. We do butchers. We do a lot of butchers.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Butchers,
certainly. But
yes.
Yeah.
It's not. There's no factory input.
No.
Like
there will be with a lot of poultry and that.
Yes. Oh, yes. We have our. We call it the pack house, where we do all the evisceration and everything. I mean, it's Michael. Michael does the organisation of the pack house, and it really is like a military operation. Mm-hmm. When those cold rooms are full of all the long-legged birds before they're eviscerated, and he's got them all into weights, and he's got his different sections, because he has to do overnight section, mm-hmm. collection section, butcher section, of each, the geese and the bronze turkeys,
all in different weights.
Michael has always been a mathematician. He's a brilliant chap at maths, and he works it out to a T. He really does. And it is very good. I mean, you should try and get a little few words out of Michael as well. But you could come just before plucking starts or something, or in November sometimes, towards the end of November, and say, or if he doesn't say then, after Christmas, and come and see how he's coped with it all. Because it's a unique operation.
Yeah.
Because it's...
It's seasonal, and it's
the volume of income that comes in that short space of time. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Because, of course, your farm... Kate looks after 4 or 5 families. worth owners, doesn't it? Right.
Three families. Yes.
Which these days, is a lot of farming,
well,
isn't
that's
it?
Right. Yes. That's the thing.
Well, 2.5
really.
So, I mean, I could write a book. Lots of people have said to me, Judy, you should write a book. Mm. I have got oodles and oodles of articles that have been written about me. Littered all over the house. And today I was so chuffed because we were looking for these photographs, which I knew were not in that chest, but I wanted to have a look in it. And I found the goose rations of 1989, which I wanted to look at. I thought they were in, and do you know, I found them where I thought they were.
And how does it compare with what you give them now?
Well, that's what I'm going to do. I want to compare the ticket that comes with them now, all in bulk, whereas they used to come in bags.
Nothing's ever lost in this house. It's just mislaid. If you know what happens.
But yeah. I could go on forevermore, amen. But I must have filled you in. The other thing I haven't told you is that we have had, starting off with Delia's Christmas special, the next one that happened was the two fat ladies. Then we had Rick Stein. And then we had a Jamie Oliver one.
Oh, didn't you have Derek? What's it from Radio 4?
Oh, yes. He came. That was on the wireless. Woman's Hour. Not Woman's Hour. The food programme. I've got a photograph of him.
Yeah.
What's his name? David. Let me go and get the photograph.
Derek Cooper.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, I'll get the photograph of him in the dining room. Derek Cooper. Yes, he came.
Yeah, well.
And that was another added thing. I think, I don't know whether it was, which year that was, I can't remember now. It's on the back of it. I'll go and get it.
I mean, the geese have made you very famous, certainly.
I must admit. And doing the bronze turkeys, because I always remember Tony Checkitts of Ombersley. I will quote this one. He said to me in 1990, I took his Michaelmas geese into him, and he had another goose in October. And he says, well, he says, I've got my turkey list out now, and I've got your bronze turkeys on there, but they don't seem to be going much. So I said, oh, well, you've just got to wait for Delia's programme and Delia's book. And then I said, I'm sure they will take off. And what did they do? They took off. So there we are.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Judy. We'll finish that now.